Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news because of you. We've got a lot to get to today, not a lot of time to do it, so let's get right to it. Today, we are starting with some important news involving the United States and Ukraine. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, just visited the capital of Ukraine. During his trip, he said the U.S. will continue helping Ukraine and will give them an additional $2 billion for military spending. This money is to buy ammunition and weapons for Ukraine's war against Russia. Russia is pushing into northeastern Ukraine, and they've made major advances over the past week. These are Russia's most significant gains since 2022. As a result, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has canceled all international travel to focus on the war. At the same time, Russian President Vladimir Putin will meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Putin will arrive in China just over a week after entering a new term in office. He has now extended his autocratic rule until 2030, following an election that did not have any true opposition. Here's CNN's Fred Pleitgen with more on the war between Russia and Ukraine.
Secretary of State Blinken's visit to Ukraine comes at a critical time for the Ukrainians and the Ukrainian military as they've been suffering some setbacks on the battlefield and right now are also dealing with a massive Russian push coming in the northeast of Ukraine towards Ukraine's second largest city of Kharkiv. The Ukrainians are acknowledging that the Russians have gained some ground there, while Moscow says that they've actually made some significant gains and want to continue to press that offensive. Now, the clear message from Secretary of State Blinken in his meeting with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was that the U.S. is back as far as military support for Ukraine is concerned, and that the U.S. is back to stay. The Secretary of State saying that some of the U.S. weapons that have been pledged have already arrived on the battlefield and others are on the way. Now, for the Ukrainians, that cannot come soon enough. One of the reasons why their forces are under such pressure pretty much on all fronts right now is the fact that they're quite short on ammunition and on weapons, especially ammunition, though. Another thing that the Ukrainian president pointed out, he said one of the biggest issues for Ukraine's forces fighting in the northeast of the country is Russian air power and the ability of the Russian Air Force to be much more effective than before. The Ukrainian president saying that Ukraine essentially needs two surface-to-air missile batteries, Patriots of U.S. make, very quickly. Fred Pleitgen, Berlin.
Let's head to the United Arab Emirates in the Arabian Peninsula. This country is one of the world's largest exporters of oil. Now it's looking at a different source to produce energy, household waste. Let's dive into the pros and cons of this technology and examine how these facilities could change the game for waste treatment and energy production worldwide.
Is it the end of the road for this household rubbish? After all, it's hard to imagine that anything here could be of further use. But actually, they're just beginning a journey to produce power.
Around about 45% of Dubai's total waste comes to this facility, and we turn that into energy.
Overseeing this site in the United Arab Emirates, Tim Clark is an expert in turning piles of trash into megawatts. Here, enough to power approximately 130,000 homes.
This facility is the largest of its type in the world. We're processing about 1.9 million tons a year of waste.
The process is simple. Burn the waste, produce heat and steam, drive a turbine to make electricity. It's a tried and tested method that has existed for over a century. Now, Tim says having a plant of this scale takes it to a different level.
We operate at a 34% efficiency of producing electricity, which is much higher than it would normally be expected from an energy from waste plant. And that's partly because of the size. We can operate at higher temperatures and higher pressures.
Last year, the world's urban areas produced more than 2 billion tons of waste, and that will grow to nearly double by the middle of the century. Landfills are piling up, and there's an urgent need for a way out.
If we're globally putting more waste into open dumps, we're creating methane that is unmanaged. As a solution, waste energy can create less emissions compared to a landfill setting.
At Warsan, besides the energy produced, waste metal is recycled and leftover ash is used for building roads. Finally, sulfur and heavy metal contaminants are filtered and taken away.
Only the 200 tons of flue gas residue is the net waste at the end of 5,500 tons of waste going in per day.
Using trash to create power can be seen as a more sustainable way to manage waste and combat the climate crisis. For experts, it's one piece of the puzzle.
I think waste energy is part of a holistic solution. If we look at things from a circular economy standpoint, turning that plastic bottle back into a plastic bottle is by far going to have the least amount of energy consumption. And the first, of course, would be just minimizing waste from the get-go. For example, less packaging or no packaging.
This is the future of trash in a world where no efforts are left to waste.
Pop quiz hotshot. What hard, tough, and shiny substance covers the crowns of your teeth? Wax, bone, enamel, keratin. If you said enamel, flash a big old smile. Tooth enamel is the hardest substance in your body, did you know? Stronger than your bones. Even though enamel is strong, plaque and bacteria in your mouth can damage it, so brush and floss like a boss. Ever wonder why we brush with a toothbrush? It should be called a teeth brush. Anyways, enough of being facetious. All right, we all know that having issues with our teeth can be painful. And fortunately, many of us have dentists to help us ease that pain, but not everyone's so fortunate. CNN's Laura Coates shares the story of one dentist who provides care to an underserved population and dedicates himself to a mission much greater than himself.
Dude, how you doing, man? Doing good?
He does so much more than clean teeth.
Awesome.
He teaches. He motivates. He's like a therapist. He's so much more than a dentist.
How are you?
You have a demonstrated philosophy of providing care and respect and dignity to anyone who needs your help.
I do what I do because this is what God put me on this earth for.
I'm actually the daughter of a dentist who really devoted his life to public service and ensuring dental care was given to people who were most in need. He would go into the prisons. He really believed in meeting people where they were. You also wanted to go into the prisons, I understand, as well. Not only to provide that service, but you recognized in many ways that why should they be denied the dignity of care?
There's a shortage of dentists in prisons around the country. Most inmates, I say 99.9% of them, they really are grateful that they get to get out of pain. If I can be courteous and kind and respectful and do my job and treat you good, regardless of who you are, where you are, that's my goal.
This is New Foundations Home for Children. We have kids in the foster care system, and we have kids in the juvenile justice system. He serves an underserved population. He's not making a lot of money off of these kids. He comes because he feels led to be here.
I got here around 2019 because I had another foster home that I was at, and that didn't work out. As he cleans my teeth, he talks to me about my ambitions. He remembers everything I tell him, and I'm not his only client.
So that's mind-blowing to know that if I could plant a seed in somebody unknowingly, but just doing my job, but doing the way that I do it, it will influence them to make good decisions and be a more productive citizen.
He's absolutely creating a brighter future for these kids.
All right, all you animals, today's 10 out of 10 takes us to the 2024 Westminster Dog Show, where the winner is Sage. She's a miniature poodle who just pranced her way to Best in Show. Now, it's not unusual to see a poodle on the podium, but Sage proved that you don't need size to take home the grand prize. She's only the fourth miniature poodle to win the show's biggest honor, and that deserves a round of applause. All right, we're showing some serious puppy love today to Alex and all of our friends in Mr. Stevens' class at Vintage High School in Napa, California for today's vocabulary word winner, facetious, an adjective meaning treating serious issues with deliberately inappropriate humor. Well done. We also want to give a shout out to Edwin M. Stanton School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, home to the Staten Stallions. I see you, home state. And we're also showing some love to Mrs. White's Media and Society class at West Aurora High School in Aurora, Illinois. Soar high, Blackhawks. Thank you for joining the show today. Remember, wherever you are out there, you matter. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and I'll see you tomorrow.